Rav Nebenzal says something very interesting about gzeiros, about decrees. And he says that if a decree is decreed, it's going to happen. And there are gzeiros, we know that they'll stand. But there are different ways to interpret the decrees, and we don't always know the way that it's going to unfold. And he actually says that different things can happen or change based on our behavior, meaning that the way that the gzeiros is going to unfold will change based on our behavior. So in this week's parasha, we have Paro's famous dream. And Rashi says that when it's describing the challenge of the dream, it says, "Ve'ein paisare sam lepare." No one was able to make them understood, to reveal the deeper meaning of the dream to Pare. And Rashi wants to know, how come I need the word lepare? Meaning, it would have been enough to say, "Ve'ein paisare sam." Pare had a dream, and no one was able to interpret the dream. What is the extra word of lepare? That no one was able to interpret the dream to Pare. So Rashi says, there were many people who were able to interpret the dreams, but not for Pare, meaning that Pare wasn't happy with their interpretations. Interpretations, hundreds of them. They gave him all kinds of interpretations, and we have some examples. He said, you're going to have seven daughters and you're going to bury seven daughters, for example. All different types of interpretations there were. But these interpretations didn't make sense to Pare. Why? Why didn't he like these interpretations? And the answer is that Pare said, what would be the point of giving me this information? Meaning, I am the king of Mitzrayim, a dream is coming to me, and if there's nothing I can do about this dream, then what would be the point of giving me this dream? It was only when Yosef came, and Yosef said, no, you know what this dream means? These dreams that you're having, these two dreams? The dream are coming to tell you that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And what you should do is you should prepare during the years of plenty in order to have food during the time of famine. And that's when Pare said, yes, this explanation makes sense because now it would make sense why I was given this dream. There's something I can actually do about it. There's a way that I can prepare for it. Nevinzel continues and says that there's another important lesson here in Chaval. It's too bad that Pare didn't learn it. And that lesson is that while a gzeira or a promise from Hashem will happen, the how it will happen is open to interpretation and manipulation based on our action. Sometimes a tzaddik can make it go away altogether, but even when not, there's still the opportunity to change things so it doesn't have to come out in its harshest form. For example, coming back to the stream, when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, the famine ended. And yet, we know that there was a gzeira, there was a decree that there were going to be 7 years of famine. So what happened to the other 5 years of famine that were supposed to be? And the answer is, they will happen, but they'll happen centuries later in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Then there will be a famine in Mitzrayim. Meaning, the 7 years of famine are going to be, but when they're going to be and how they're going to be, that's open to change. We can change that. And had he learned this lesson, he may have avoided the terrible decrees of the Mabul. Although there was a promise, there was going to be a Don Anachi, Hashem says, I'm going to judge them and I'm going to punish them for what they have done. I'm going to provide justice. Had Pare done things differently, or had he done tshuva, had he left Bnei Yisrael, had he not been so harsh, things could have been different. We see this very clearly by that Brisbane of Psar, when Hashem said, Don Anachi, that I'm going to give justice to Pare. The beginning of that nevuah, of that decree, was that we were going to be in Golos for 400 years. Now, of course, we know that we weren't in Golos for 400 years. We were in Golos for only 210 years. So where are the other 190 years? And the answer is that the 400 years are going to start with the birth of Yitzchak, effectively cutting 190 years off the Gzeira. Perhaps had we been Zeicha, that it could have been even shorter and started off by Brisbane of Sarum. A few decades earlier, we could have cut off even more time, meaning that what was immutable was that it was going to be 400 years of Golos. The up to consideration was, when do these 400 years start? And of course, the earlier the start, and part of those years of Golos was not hard work. Part of those years of Golos was them living in their land, but it wasn't their land yet. So the 400 years of Golos was going to happen. How it was going to happen, how it was going to unfold, is based on our action. It says in a pasuk in Shemais ויאמרו את חייהם בעבודה קשה, בחומר, בלבנו, בכל עבודה בשדה. And they made our lives miserable. And the Midrash tells us what this hard work looked like or could have looked like. And translates it this way. Ba'avayda kasha, what was the hard work? Zukushia, same word. Kasha is hard and kushia is a question. Meaning that the avayda kasha was questions in Torah, questions in Gemara. Ba'chomer, zekal v'chomer. When we're talking about the chomer, the mortar, we're not talking about mortar, we're talking about being able to make a kal v'chomer, which is one of the midos with which we interpret the Torah. And likewise, by levenim is libun halacha, is clarifying the halacha, not bricks, levenim, but libun, which means to clarify the halacha, b'chol avayda basada is a breisa, is kol avaydasam zupsikta, asher avdu behem b'farach zupircha. These are all different words of learning Torah, says the Zohar HaKadosh. And also in the Zohar. And it seems a little strange to us. Does it mean that the Mitzrayim sat and had kavusas with us? Were they asking us difficult questions? What does it mean that the Mitzrayim made us work hard with Limud Torah? And the answer is, indeed, it could have been. Meaning that the decrees of hard work was going to happen. The question only was, what kind of hard work? And had we been worthy, the hard work could have happened through learning. And to prove this, we see that indeed for one Shevet, Shevet Levi, it did happen this way, because they merited this type of hard work, so they didn't have to do the hard work with the Chomer and Levenim. They were able to do the hard work, but the hard work was with Torah. And so too we know that too, that sometimes a person is decreed to work hard, or to have something on top of, and to have an all. And Chazal tell us, choose the all of Torah. Meaning if you're going to have an all, choose the all of Torah. If you take yourself off out of the all of Torah, then maybe you're going to get all malchias, meaning that the government is going to start to put burdens on you. Much rather have the burden of Torah than the burden of the government. We see this also, it says that one of the reasons that Sukkot is placed where it is, right after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot comes to commemorate the Anane HaKavod. So logically, the Sukkot should have been celebrated, commemorated immediately after or around Pesach time when we actually had the Anane HaKavod. So many, many different answers given to this question of why Sukkot is where it is, but one of the answers that's given is perhaps on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we had a decree, and the decree was Golos, we're going to have to go into exile. And that decree is going to stand, but if we can be Mekayim the decree of exile by leaving our comfortable homes and going to our Sukkah, then we are Mekayim Golos, and then perhaps this Gezeira of Golos is not going to have to happen to us because we've already done it. And we've done it in an easier way than if we actually have to be exiled. The story of Hanukkah was predicted by Daniel. It was predicted by Daniel that there's going to be a Malchus, and they would get up after Parsa Hamada, and they were going to rule after the Jews. But how are they going to rule? What's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to be like? Is determined by our actions and the way it was and the way it went away because of what the Chashmonaim did. All this, the Nevua is there, but how it's going to unfold is determined by us. And so too will it be, Emirat Hashem, with the final Geula, where not just the end is unclear, but even what it will look like is unclear. Meaning we don't know when it's going to happen, we don't know how it's going to happen. There are so many dates that have been given for this is when the Geula is going to happen, and so many of those dates have passed. And this is because, as we've been saying, it could have been then. It could have happened then. But it didn't. What will it be like? The Rambam says, Lo yedo adam eich yihyu ad sheyihyu. This is one of the things that we don't know what it's going to be like until it happened. Because even though there have been so many predictions and nevuas, and Chazal have given us a lot of ideas, what will practically happen when we get there is up to us. It's undetermined. It's based on how we act. When it says that there's going to be a Melchemes Gog u'Magog, and we have descriptions of what it's going to look like. When is it going to be? How is it going to be? Who is it going to be? Well, I guess I can end with the bracha that says, Halavai it already was, and that we shouldn't have to go through it, because any one of the major wars that we've had over the last, well, at least over the last 80 years, I would say, definitely fits the criteria of maybe this is the one that is Gog and Magog, and maybe this is the one that Eretz Hashem will bring us to the final Gula.